yourself, it's not a good thing. It means you can't hear me. All right, we're going to be going over today just some examples of how to share the gospel. And before we do, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for your love and your grace towards us. But we're so grateful for our opportunity that we've all had in here to receive you as our Savior. Lord, I thank you for those who had boldness to give us the gospel, to share that wonderful truth with us, so that we can make a decision to reject or accept Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that for several of us, that we heard it more than one time before we did accept you as our Savior. And thank you, Lord, for allowing more and more opportunities to come our way. Lord, we do ask that you would give us wisdom and discernment as we figure out, as you lead, guide, and direct us in our walk with you, how to share your truth, and that you would give us discernment on our focus, on our motivation, and just allow opportunities to come our way and allow us to make opportunities as well. Lord, we're thankful for what you've shown us already and what you're going to show us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so going to go over some examples. Again, starting next week, John's going to go over Ephesians, mainly the armor of God. So we're looking forward to that. So before we get into it, what needs to be included in sharing the gospel? Good place to start, right? What needs to be included in sharing the gospel? Any ideas?
Death, burial, and resurrection.
1 Corinthians 15:1-3. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Absolutely. In that little handout, and I've already noticed me going through my own notes, just skimming through where the gospel was presented, there are some things I wish I would have added to that list, but nonetheless, you're going to get the idea of the gospel being presented in Acts and some teachings they focused on afterwards. But you'll notice, whether it's Jew or Gentile, beginning right in Acts 2 or at the end in Acts 20, whenever the last time Paul gives it or anybody gives it there in Acts, it's just that's included, right? The death, burial, and resurrection. That's included. So we have to have that. Now, the sub-points can change, right? And I think sometimes we get hung up on the sub-points, which is, do I include Christ dying for your sins? Do I say that you're a sinner? Do I say confess your sins? Do I say, you know, all these things, right? So those are sub-points that we're going to have to be open to God's leading on the person that I'm talking to, right? Do I talk about a judgment? Do I not mention a judgment? Right? And those are the sub-points that we see in the book of Acts that sometimes are mentioned, sometimes they're not. When Paul writes back to the believers in each epistle, sometimes he talks about those things, sometimes he doesn't. So Paul is our example on being open to the Holy Spirit on how to give the gospel, being open to getting out at least this, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the sub-points that get included can change person to person, right? Or group to group. Any thoughts on that? Any questions?
I would think you're going to tailor the subsections to your relationship with the person you're giving it to, or what you know about the person that you're giving it to.
Yeah, that could be true too. Yep. That can be true. Let's just focus on what I already know about Scripture, okay? Don't worry about what you don't know. Okay, so from what I've read, from what I've been taught, from what I know, what are some things that I know that Paul brings up or Peter brings up about Jesus? How do they get Jesus going? How do they get the conversation rolling?
They just start talking about him.
They start talking about him?
Yeah. They present him, you know, we're here because of Jesus Christ, and he came and died for you. So they right away, they start with him. Mm-hmm. They don't go to philosophy. Mm-hmm. They just start with
him. Right. Yep.
It seems like with me, it seems like everybody you talk to anymore is focused on their problems. And so it just seems like it. So when somebody does that, that's the easy opening for me just to start talking about how Jesus helps me with mine, where I see my faith and the trust that I have. And then that opens conversation. That's just seems like everybody's talking about the problem.
Yeah. Okay.
That's one thing I do. Now that I have this amputation, my problems are a little bit more visible. And yet people can see it and see who I am. I'm joyful. And that really makes a difference to people. And I'll tell them a little bit. You know, I have my issues with getting depressed and despondent. But I made a choice, the same choice that you have, to find myself in. My situation hasn't changed, but my attitude did. And that's what Christ does for me. And I tell them, he can do the same for you. You can find yourself through Jesus.
Okay. Right. And as you mature in Christ, what's exciting about that is you won't talk about being depressed because you won't have that.
Right.
Yeah. So, we talk about problems. Do I see problems being mentioned in Scripture? Do I see Paul or Peter or John addressing problems when they give the gospel?
You know, he's just telling the people if he's writing from prison, I'm in prison now, and he doesn't really mention it too much.
Yeah, it's different because he's writing to believers. But when they approach non-believers, what problems do they bring up?
Can't be righteous under the law. Oh, no, non-believers, sorry.
Yeah, well, it's just true to a Jew. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
As I did with this morning, but I noticed that it was often like they would share the gospel in response to something that happened, maybe someone who was healed, or like sometimes it was a counter response to like a sorcerer, and so not necessarily addressing like their problems, more like current events of sorts.
Okay.
It happened, and they're like, well, yeah, that's because of Christ or because of the lack of Christ.
Excellent examples. So when signs are being done, right, and other people are seeing that, it's because of Jesus. So they're giving the reason why these signs and healings are being done. Good job. Excellent. Right, now I'm not against that. I'm all for it, but if I'm going to go that route, I want to try and get a scripture to help me with that also.
Right?
I'm going to try and get a scripture to say, okay, here's the problems they addressed at this time, these non-believers. What can I learn from that? Right? Because again, those aren't bad ideas. Now we're getting in the 21st century, the problems that mankind always has the same theme of problems. Right? Which are?
Sin.
Okay. What else?
Arrogance.
Yeah. Sin, right? Yeah. So anything of the flesh. Good. Good. Excellent. Yep.
Depression.
Okay. Anything of the flesh. What else? We all have family.
Relationships.
We all have friends.
Money.
We see money a lot in Scripture. More than we give the Bible credit for, I think. Dave would know. That's his forte. Yeah. We see finances, we see droughts, we see pain, we see suffering, we see persecution, right? This is the things that we see, right? So now in the 21st century in America, what things can I take over? How can I loop these together, right?
Well, it's pretty hard to talk about persecution to people today because they think they're persecuted, but it's like...
Right.
And so that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be one of the things I talk about.
All right. So all I'm trying.
Would it all come under suffering?
Could be under suffering. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Diseases are still there. Yeah. Pain's still there. I mean, look at half our prayer requests on our sheet. They're not spiritual growth. They're physical problems.
And I'm glad you brought that word up, John, because in the study on the handout from last week, a lot of times, in addition to referring to the death, burial, resurrection, it talked about suffering specifically, that he suffered and then he rose.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's to encourage believers that he can see them through their suffering And most of the time suffering in the New Testament is suffering for the cause of Christ. Right? You see very little on pain. You see very little on cancer, on diseases. That was there, right? You see very little of it. Americans highlight that. What you're going to start seeing is a group of people that are being taught to not be afraid of death, right? Because there's a resurrection. You see a lot. The resurrection is one of the most common teachings, if not the most common teaching. The resurrection, right? They have to be convinced that they're not going to die. I'm not sure Americans today that are believers are convinced. They want to hold on to this world, right? With everything that they have. They haven't accepted this world's not my home. So you see a lot of grasping for the world and putting a lot of effort and energy to worldly things instead of spiritual things. You guys catch that? That makes sense? All right. So let's be convinced of that. Now, all these things I'm saying are just to kind of get our minds to think about reading the scriptures from a different aspect, right? From a different point of view. You know, what is going on in the gospel is presented? What are they talking about? Yeah, one thing that they're saying when they go to these places is, have you heard of Jesus? Right? Never assume someone's heard of Jesus. Now, there has never been a time like today where the gospel is being presented everywhere all the time on different avenues. And just as there is the gospel being presented, there are more false gospels being presented. There are way more false gospels being presented today than there were in the first century. That is true. Yeah. Okay? So just as much as the gospel is coming out, there's a lot more false things coming out as well. Okay? So don't think, well, they're in America, they've heard. That's not true. They may have heard about Jesus, but what form of Jesus have they heard?
Yeah. For instance, I mean, these are all older. The gospel, like the Gospel of Peter, I read through it. It portrays Jesus differently. And it's heretical. There's no Gospel of Peter. There's a reason for that. This was done by Gnostics. And guess what? They're still doing it.
Right. So, that's how I'm going to start out with. Have you heard of Jesus? You can never go wrong with that, right? Now, I'm looking for opportunities. When I'm at the grocery store, I'm not buying groceries first. I'm not buying groceries first. I'm not going there to get something done and leaving. Get that out of your mind. I'm around people, and I want you to start writing down your hours that you're around other people. How often am I around other people? How often am I at work? How often am I at my house? How often am I around family? Okay? Then you're going to do your math and go, okay, here's the amount of time I have to present the gospel. I'm not saying anything bad or negative. I'm just wanting you to do your math for what you do. Now, once I see the amount of hours I'm around people, okay, when I'm around people, how am I taking advantage of me in my life, where I'm at right now, to get the gospel out, right? I'm at the grocery store and I'm in the coffee section, which I love that area. When someone else is there, I'm looking. Looking at their clothes, I'm listening to their conversation. I'm looking for something. They have a Callaway hat on. I know they golf. Hey, I just went out and played 18 today myself. I just went out and played 9. Or where do you golf at? Man, there's a guy in my church, and I use you a lot getting the gospel out. I use what I know about you to get the gospel out. I'll talk more about that in the next hour. Hey, I know a guy in my church, he does cabinets. When I'm at Lowe's. Man, they did cabinets in my house, they're awesome. They're the best. Do you have a guy in a church like that? Or I haven't even asked you, what church do you go to? Or do you even go to a church? Well, no, I don't go. I'm the pastor of the Way Church, and it just comes out. Right? Hey, you have a Callaway hat on? Man, I go golfing with a guy in my church. 96 years old, and this guy smokes me every Saturday, and he makes sure to let me know. Do you have a guy in your church that goes golf that you go golfing with? I haven't even asked you. What church do you go to? Well, I'll go to this church. Oh, yeah, you know, I think I heard somewhere A, B, C, D, F, G. Or I know someone that goes there. And you know, the number one thing we focus on at our church, because most of the time they're going to ask you, most of the time, not always, but most of them are going to ask you, what church do you go to? And our name is the exact door to get the gospel out. I start out with, hey, I pastor the Way Church. Oh, the Way? I said, yeah. In the book of Acts, when Peter, and I start there first. In the book of Acts, when Peter is, you know, being on trial for his life, because he talked about Jesus Christ and the resurrection, he's having to defend his faith. The Jews don't like it. When he mentions the group of believers as a whole, he calls them the Way. And it goes back to John, when Jesus says, I am the Way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me, or but by me. Yeah?
It's interesting because I know every time I talk about our church, people say, oh, is that a hippie congregation? Is that from the 70s? You know, the Way? And so it'll open up a conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just shocked. That's what they say.
Right. And, yeah, I was going to say, you're dating yourself, but because that was back in the 70s. The group I talk to has no idea. Either way, because the Lord has us in different groups, right? Thank God. Yeah. And so through that, you can say, no, it means A, B, C, D. Right? Great. Because everybody from 50 and under has never even heard of that. You know? Good. So that's what I'm looking for, right? So me... And just the few hours that I'm able to get out and do things, I'm not going there to shop. I'm not going there to get something. I'm not going there to buy for me. Okay? I want to get in a mindset, okay, Lord, I'm going to make an opportunity for you for someone to hear the gospel. That's what I'm doing. Okay? So I don't know what I'm going to get back here. I don't know. I'm around my family and church people more than I am unsaved people. So I want to make it a point to get it out. And if I stumble through it, I stumble through it. I don't mind, as long as the gospel is being presented. Right? Now, if I know the person's not interested and they're walking away, I don't, like, run them down and grab them. Right? But if they're talking to me, I'm gonna get it out. And more times than not, people will listen. Now, after you give the gospel is where it changes. That's not for you to take matters in your own hands, though. You got it out. Okay? You got it out. I'll admit, I have not seen anybody saved in Walmart, Sherman's, a handful of times I've been in there, Costco, I haven't seen them saved. I've seen them saved through Wolfpack, adults that we talk to. I have seen them saved through there. I have seen them saved coming to church. But I'm getting it out regardless. When Paul and Peter and these guys got the gospel out, many did get saved. But many rejected and caused problems afterwards, right? So I just want to get the gospel out. That's what's on my mind. So any questions or thoughts on that? Any? Yeah.
One of Don's good friends in Albuquerque said once that when he goes to a restaurant, he does, like he meets for coffee with people a lot. When the waitress comes to the table, he always says, we're just about to pray. Is there anything I could pray for you? Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, what a great opening, you know. So,
yep. Anyway, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was, I thought, that's a unique way to just touch somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And he said, oftentimes they'll say, will you pray for my children? Mm-hmm. You know, so you know that it's touching somebody.
Right. That's one method we use in Connell. When we knocked on doors, we would say, hey, I'm with... You know, Bethany Baptist Church, and we're out taking prayer requests. Is there anything I could take, you know, as a prayer request for you? And then before you write that down, say, hey, this is great. And if they're still open, you say, hey, this is fantastic. We'll definitely be praying for this. But, you know, before I leave, do you know for sure heaven's your home? I can take 3 more minutes and show you how you can know for sure. Or however the Lord leads for you to get that out, right? That's what I would say. Hey, before I leave, do you know for sure heaven's your home? Or do you know anything about Jesus? You know, but you got the prayer request there. You've won their soul, Proverbs, their emotions, and now it's opened up for you to be able to get that out. Right? That's good. I like that. That's excellent.
What we learned in mission work is you always start with how can we pray for you, and then it opens the doors. That's that's very effective.
Yeah.
Something you said that is different than I do is I always ask people if they go to church. But what you said is, where do you go to church? I think it's more convicting. I think that it would at least make them go home and think about, oh, the expectation is that I'm going to church. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that was that's a good point for me to learn from.
Right. Yeah. And I will admit, I have an ulterior motive to say, well, then come to our church, you know. Because they'll say, well, I don't go to one, you know, or whatever. That's what I'm hoping they say. And I go, great, come to ours.
Well, any of us could say that.
Right.
I find myself telling believers and non-believers, well, come check it out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Now, that's different, right? In the first century church, they were not inviting unsaved people to the congregation. Everyone that came to the congregation, the church people were seeing saved out, and bringing them to the saved body, right? Does that make sense? Times have changed. Times have changed, right? And we want to do that. That's our desire, to see them saved out there and bring them in. But hey, if worst case scenario, if you just get someone to come to church, that's okay. That's okay. There are other gifts here that can win them to Christ. Eventually, we want to get you there to where you get the gospel out. But we're putting ourselves in situations as well, like at a restaurant or a store, to where they might not want to listen, right, to get the whole plan of salvation. So my environment dictates how far this goes also. So if I'm at a grocery store and all I get out is, hey, come to our church, and they come, perfect, right? Perfect. I mean, we used to go to the parks also and walk the parks and just walk around and talk to people. I mean, I've seen tons of people saved at parks, because they're out there relaxing. There's no concept of time on their mind. They're out there just enjoying the day. They don't got to be anywhere. So then, man, we've seen tons of people saved in parks.
One thing I love doing is going to nursing homes. And there was one instance in Boise where, and I saw this man, the progress he had made, because he was exciting like that. Anyway, he stayed in the public area when we went to do our ministry there and sing and preach. And he would stay in the public area. Then it got to be, he started to engage a little bit more. And then he started opening the door for us. And he finally accepted Christ.
Amen.
And the change in him was dramatic.
Well, that's encouraging.
His daughter had said she'd been trying the whole time to get her father to accept Christ. What did you guys do? And I love the answer of our director. We were here. Mm-hmm. Great answer.
Right.
We were here. That's all we did.
Absolutely. I like that. That's excellent. All right, so you'll notice throughout the book of Acts in different books, when I believe in Jesus, my sins are forgiven. So you don't ever really see anywhere when the gospel is presented to confess your sin. Now, if you're going to say that, okay. But there's nowhere in there where it says you confess your sin. You're a sinner. You know, forgive me of my sin. There's no... I don't ask for forgiveness of my sin. That's for a saved person. I receive Christ and my sins are forgiven. Does that make sense? I mean, you see in tracts a lot, you know, confess your sin. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Well, you don't really see that. You know, the Jews would have confessed their sin of killing Jesus. Now, if you're going to use that, I'm not going to, hey, that's what the Lord does, okay. You know, I try, as I learn and grow, to stay as close to context as possible, right? That's what I try and do. All right, then you got to figure out what verses can I use, right? Or what truth can I say? A lot of times I don't quote a verse. I'll quote a context, okay? You know, I'll say, hey, Genesis, and then I'll give a story about, you know, the fall of mankind. I don't go in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, hey, in the beginning of the book of Genesis, we have Adam and Eve, right? Hey, in the book of Romans, it says, I give the whole book and I give a context of a story of a truth in that book. So I don't go in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all of sin. If you want to do that, great. That's a lot of pressure, though. Just say, hey, in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, get the context out. Does that make sense? Yeah. So don't worry about the nitty-gritty, because in the Greek there are no chapters and verses. It's topics. Okay?
You know, sometimes we find that people, they consider the story of Adam and Eve a story, you know, and they don't look at the people in the Bible as like they were real people. So do you ever address that?
I have found that to be so few and far between.
Okay.
Most people don't have that at all. Most people don't have that thought.
Okay.
Most people are biblically ignorant, and so they're listening to you. They don't know if it's true or false, but they're just listening to what you're telling them.
Okay.
I have had maybe in the 12 years that I've been giving the gospel out, maybe a handful of times where someone says, I don't believe the Bible to be true. I've given it out hundreds, maybe thousands of times. So I've rarely come across that. And even if they do believe that, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit's going to do his job. If you look when Paul's presenting it, he gets the truth out. Some receive, some reject. Regardless, the truth is the truth. So I don't address them and their disbelief. I'm just trying to be used of God to convince that Christ was the Creator, the Messiah that came, died on the cross, and rose again. You can receive that or not. Yeah. Yep. So I wouldn't even have a preconceived thought or notion that that's going to happen. That's probably, and if it does happen, they're going to shut you off so quick and move on. You'd be like, okay, you know, cool. Less time on you, more time for the next person. All right, yep, so we talked about different ways. I'm looking at clothes, I'm looking at, I'm at someone's house, or I'm around someone, I'm looking at landscaping. I'm trying to do whatever I can to get something involved with my Savior or my church or someone that I know in church. I'm trying to get a connection, right? Hey, I know a guy that hunts all the time, or I know a guy that has that same pistol, or I know a guy that shoots there also, or I know someone that is in a wheelchair myself, you know, a guy at my church. Hey, what church do you go to again? I didn't even ask. You know, I'm looking at something to connect, okay, to get my Savior out, my church out, and I'm using you. I'm using the scriptures. I'm using what? I'm using their landscaping, their sports. I'm talking about them. I'm trying to connect, okay? So that's the way I do it. You don't have to do it this way. It's just an option, okay? But I'm looking at going this way. I'm staying in tune with me and my Lord, and I'm looking for something. Yeah, I know a guy at the CPA also at my church. You know, does your church use a CPA? I haven't even asked. What church do you go to? You know, or whatever. I use, you know, if someone, hey, honestly, I use our widows in our church. Someone says, hey, my husband passed away, and, you know, A, B, C, D. Man, I can't imagine what that's like. You know, there are some widows in our church, and they have the sweetest spirit. Are there widows at your church? I'd be asked, what church do you go to? I'm trying to connect that way. Okay, I know I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm just trying to expand my mind and not get narrow-minded on, I got to get these verses out. No, those will come as a byproduct. Christ wants them saved more than I do. Okay, so if I'm open to his leading and connecting people or circumstances or events or different things, problems, right? You know, hey, I know a guy in my church went through that same problem. What church do you go to again? You know, whatever. Good. And then the verses will come. Or the truth will come. Okay? The context of what you're wanting to get out, it will come. Any more questions on that little section? I know this is very vague and broad. Because at this point, you know, we started out with a lot of scripture. Very narrow, but now when it comes out to getting it out, I'm just relying on number one, the Holy Spirit, to speak his truth through me. Because the Trinity wants that person saved more than I do. They were involved in this whole process of seeing people saved. Now that I'm open, you can't teach that. You can't teach someone a desire. You can't teach someone to put their fear aside or trusting the Lord and walk by faith. You know, you can explain this truth, but they're either going to take it or they're not, right? Born-again believers. And then for myself, I want to display what a godly believer looks like in every given situation. And giving the gospel out is one situation among many. A lot of times we focus on how I handle circumstances or how I handle the pressures of life, how I handle tough times. That's just one sliver. Don't ignore how I live my life when things are going well. How I talk about things when, you know, I'm communicating to other people. How I get the gospel out. There are so many avenues of what a godly believer does and how it looks. And I want to be an expert in all of those. Okay? When I say expert, I'm not saying you know everything. I'm acting on what I know. I'm participating in what God has for his people. So I'm going away from propositions. Yes, I need to get the gospel out. I'm getting away from, yeah, that is true. I'm getting away from that and going, okay, I'm seeing some procedures on how to do that. Right? I have some different perspectives now on how to get it out. And now I'm going to start participating in that. That's the fourth type of knowing. Participatory. Now I'm actually living it out. I'm putting myself in the situations to get it out. Right? And one of the best ways to do it is at Walmart, is at Costco, is at Fred Meyer, because it happens quick. You get the truth out and they move on. And they're thinking about it. And now you have someone to pray about. Hey, Lord, the person I talked to in the coffee aisle today, I gave the gospel out. Number one, thank you for allowing your truth to come out to that person. I saw the wheels turning. Now you know and I know, Lord, they can get saved on their own. This is how I pray. They have enough truth to acknowledge and accept that truth on their own as they're even driving home or as they're going to the next spaghetti aisle. Well, I want you to work on their heart. I want a desire in them. I want a yearning. I want a burning in them. I want them to be restless with this truth. And I want them to trust you as their Savior, because I know that is your will, and I'm praying for your will to be done. And I know your will is to see them saved. And use someone else, Lord. Just as quick as I did it in less than 30 seconds, use someone else. And then layer that to where they're just convinced, okay. Or use that one time and they're already saved in the next aisle. Either way. Pretty cool, huh? That's Colossians 3. I'm having my affections on things above. I'm trying to do it better and better. No more, well, you know, I'm stuck here or this is all I know. As long as you have breath, you can be growing and moving forward. As long as I have a will, I can determine things. And what I do, you can continue to grow, even now. Now, will you have to move out of your comfort zone? Yes. Will you have to get out of your comfort zone? Yes. You have to get out of your comfort zone knowing that the worst they can do is yell at you. Not arrest you, put you in a Roman prison. Not crucify you upside down. You can get uncomfortable with the lap, but the worst thing is you get yelled at. No one's arresting you right now. The time may come. Let's be bold now while we have the freedom, so that I'll be bold when that time comes. It's a harder leap to go from me not doing it now to doing it when there's life threatening on the line. Okay? So just start getting used to it now. Any questions on how to get it out? I mean, I have a lot of verses written down, but you guys know a lot of the verses. This group, I'm sure, knows quite a few. Romans Road, your own way of salvation, whatever it is. So you know what to, you know what verses to fall back on. And it's not how many you use. It's the truth behind what you're saying. I got to make sure I get these five out. No, you don't. There's one truth, the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul did it in one verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Maybe two.
In ways, I think I have an advantage that when I talk to people, the first thing they see is the joy. And then I tell them why that is. So, you know, they see it. And so in that way, lifestyle evangelism works, but you have to be intentional. I just can't tell them, well, I have a piece of past that they can't understand. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. How can I explain it to you? No. Lifestyle evangelism with purpose. And that's what I try to do. I have to do it a little bit differently than I used to. Things change.
Where did you hear that phrase?
What?
Lifestyle evangelism with purpose.
Well, no, that's my statement.
Okay.
I've never heard it before. That's okay. My statement. That lifestyle evangelism on its own, I don't agree with, because it doesn't, there's no purpose behind it. But lifestyle evangelism with purpose, with a reason, does work, because I reach so many that way, and talked just yesterday it happened. And so I'm glad my leg got amputated, because now it's better. Just, it's a witnessing to me, my stump. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's my advantage.
Perfect. Let those truths sink in. Develop your own methodology. Allow the Lord to use the truth of Scripture to influence you. All right, and again, do the math. I'm at home this many hours. I'm around believers this many hours. I'm around family this many hours. And I'm out with unsaved people this many hours. And don't get depressed or discouraged, okay? It's not about you need to do more. If this is where you're at in life, okay. That's where you're at. But just take advantage of when I am out and whatever those hours are. Okay? Don't beat yourself up and say, well, I need to make time to do more. Don't do that. Wherever you're at right now, do it with your schedule now. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we're so grateful and thankful for your love and your mercy. What a fantastic topic, Lord, on the gospel and being presented and how to do it. Lord, there are so many ways. And I'm so thankful in Scripture that Luke wrote down a lot of different ways in the book of Acts. And just how Paul reiterates things in the epistles and just different apostles, Lord. I'm just so thankful there are many ways. But the number one theme is the death, burial, and resurrection. Not with baptism. Not with speaking in tongues. Not with the law. But the death, burial, and resurrection, and that's it. Lord, give us all boldness, myself included, and encouragement and comfort and discernment on the times we're around unbelievers to get your truth out. Lord, and may we be blessed to even see fruit come from it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I think I'm in the...